Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is the correspondent.
Hey, Solution. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Is that a Pinot Noir or a Shiraz, or what do we got there?
Tempranillo in my log cabin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like it. With me is Fiona.
Good evening.
How are you?
Being here on a Monday night.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Feels like Sunday. Tomorrow will feel like Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with me is the architect.
Solution, how's it going, mate?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. There's so much to get through today. So just a little bit of housekeeping to start. So this is our last podcast before the bye. But assuming that these motherfuckers keep their word, next week will be the OG podcast. So it'll be Sweep and DJ and myself for those who were OG listeners. That's housekeeping matter number one. Number two, I did say I would do a live song of the week if we win, and we won. So I will be doing the song Overrated Blues, which is to Spandau Ballet's True. Some of you may remember it, again, OG listeners. So you can stay tuned to the whole podcast to listen to that. But going to the bye, entrenched in the eight, beating the old foe. Correspondent, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you up and down like a yo-yo?
Mate, just doing some IT maintenance. Keep going.
Give me the shit. Anyway, I don't think anyone will disagree. There were some times yesterday when the game wasn't great. First half, very forgettable. Last quarter was like Chinese water torture. I just had these Collingwood vibes from Anzac Day. It was killing me. But we have won against the team that thought they were top four, flag chances. They're imploding. It's fucking wonderful. Fiona, starting with you, how good does it feel right now?
Yeah, it was a funny old pre-lead up to the game because I really felt like I didn't know what to expect because there was just that, you know, that pre-existing fear that they were just going to turn it on for us and come out of the shell and just absolutely kill us with a big win. But that could be just some old demons. And I might have to say that there's no reason for those demons to still exist. Is it too early to be saying that yet?
Well, didn't I call it before the game? I said in Fiona's forecast that we are a better team.
Yeah, I just did not quite believe. I needed that game to solidify the belief, I guess.
Because you need to exercise the demons.
Yeah, I needed to look them in the face. And even though the second quarter was quite troubling for me because they really got on top and it felt like doom and gloomish, I have to admit. But the good thing that was very evident for mine was the intent was there. It was non-negotiable intent. Now, we were turning it over and Carlton were getting on top, but they never gave up. They were in it. I didn't see one player drop their heads or drop their shoulders. And to me, that told me everything I needed to know.
Well, they never do give up. That's one hallmark of this team. Now, correspondent, you were at the ground. Of the four of us, you were the only one there. I thought the whole 16 versus 16 cups thing was a bit, what did the English say, naff?
Yeah, I was about to say naff, yeah.
What did you think, mate?
No, I think I've read a few comments post, and I don't know what we're trying to do. They're trying to promote the whole game, you know, to make it a marquee game. I think 84,000 people turning up kind of locks that one in. But, you know, for the rivalry we have, here we are kind of, you know, buddying up with Carlton. I'm like, no, don't want that.
Yeah, we'll have that rivalry naturally anyway.
Although it does get you thinking, you know, the age old, you know, who's closer to winning the next premiership? Those conversations that we all have.
I think we've edged ahead.
Like, I think we've certainly edged ahead.
We're 3,000 kilometres from the finishing line, but we've just...
Well, it's a Melbourne Cup kind of event, right? And I think that this time last year we were like out the back.
Yeah, that's right. It's a steeplechase. We're at about the 2,000 metre mark. But what are your overall thoughts of the game? Was it as painful in the first half as it looked on TV? And how thrilling was that third quarter?
It was, as I said, it was the first half was, like going to the dentist. And we probably should have been at least a few goals down, if not three or four. And, that third term came from nowhere. Although we were sitting in the forward pocket, 50-metre mark forward pocket of the end we were kicking. And the first thing I noticed was Zach Merritt running down to the forward line. And I said to one of my daughters, Merritt's gone forward, they're breaking the tag. And then he got involved in those two or three goals, or that first goal. And you're like, he's going to win us the game. Well, that move was part of winning us the game.
Really nice segue. So this is what I want to ask you, Architect. So at the halfway mark of the season, we won't do a list review because I might leave that till next week for the OG podcast. But Scott, Brad Scott, now, let's not act like it was good management that we got him. We it was completely, I think I said in our group chat, our errors cancelled each other out. And somehow we ended up with this marvellous person as coach. I just think he eased my real herd of the midway part of this, or halfway through the year. He's the herd award leader right now. It was a tremendous move. He's made moves before the game. He makes moves in regards to how we play. He makes in-game changes. He's the complete opposite of what we had previously, which was just no changes, no change, no nothing.
I have to agree with you. It's hard not to be very enamored with how he's kind of going about it. And obviously the old days when he was running around with North Melbourne, you could see the anger. It's one thing I've noticed. It's not there. You still see he's not happy when things go wrong, but there's not the throwing of the phone against the perplex. What is it? The glass. I can't speak tonight. But also, like as you said, makes moves. It's so nice to see that magnets aren't glued to the board. But yeah, he's clearly very smart in regards to the whole coaching caper. So glad we, as you said, fumbled into landing him as a head coach.
I think if there's ever a advertisement to kind of go back and have a coach work for the AFL for a few years, he's the advertisement for it, because I think that's done him wonders. You can clearly see he's matured as a human being, his mind has matured and how he sees the game. He obviously has some insights into how the AFL were kind of looking at the game moving forward. And I think we absolutely came out winners on that. And no, I mean, you can, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but at the time, not getting Alistair Clarkson and now looking at all that disaster, we really came out on top in all facets.
Also, looks like he might still have the hotline to the umpires.
the umpiring, as we know, it was massively over officiated the whole game, right? Just the chopping of the arms, the pushing the back stuff. It was being there, it was driving both supporter groups crazy. Having said that, I think there were 50 free kicks paid, and we were well ahead.
We were
32 to 18.
Hasn't happened in the previous decade. But those free kicks their forward line were getting were ridiculous in that second quarter. I think that was part of the reason they were clawing their way back. But the other thing too, just on that narrative of missed shots for goal, and they had a lot of shots, particularly in that first half, where I think they were trying to play the old slingshot footy, where they were coming right up the ground and there was this paddock behind the last Essendon defender. And a lot of those shots were from distance, on the run, under pressure, 40, 50 out. And then, if there's ever a contrast, 2 metre Peter. So the set shots they did have.
Yeah.
That shot he kicked from like 50 out. He, you know what? Watching the replay, it's not just that he kicks the goals. They are dead straight.
Mm.
Shots.
I may have stood up in the crowd and may have called out to Harry Mackay that, have a look, Harry, that's how you do it.
No, don't give him tips.
Just back on the third term, mate, there were numerous highlights, but it was sucking it all in. And, you know, Redmond's kind of, you know, give and go and give and go again, and then his kick over Silvani's head. And watching it live, and it was right in front of us, you didn't see, you were watching the ball rather than Peter Wright. And then you saw Silvani backing and then Wright sliding in on his knees. So all of us went a bit mad. And then, but then the goal, which we've all seen in infinitum, you know, the Martin to Caldwell to, you know, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Everyone just stood up and went ballistic because that we knew that was game over. And that was a celebration of a bunch of young kids.
I was watching it on the TV. I don't know, correspondent. It sounded extremely loud, the crowd. Like it felt like it's probably the loudest game that I've heard in quite a while from the Essendon supporters.
There were more Essendon supporters there, and it was a Carlton home game.
That's amazing.
Well, I'm going to talk about that in Blues Watch, our segment later, where somebody complained about Essendon fans in the Carlton members area. But in terms of the awards, so I'm going to give it to you, Fiona, because you've got a tough decision to make around the Henneman. I'm kind of stitching you up a little bit.
Yeah, you are. You really are.
Give me best players.
Okay.
And the herd, and take your time.
All right. I'll give you some contenders for the herd. Yeah, and these couple that I'm going to say I could have easily given the herd to, but I just want to shout them out. I thought Caldwell was brilliant, absolutely stepped up. I mean, you know, we all say what you want about Luke Darcy, but he made a really good point about Caldwell. He's got a different dynamic to him as a midfielder. He's got a really, he's lightning quick with his hands, and you often see him when all the vision of him at training, all he's doing is one-on-one with the coaches, just handballing. Quick handballs. So you can see that he really hones in on that as his craft.
Just one thing on Luke Darcy, just a complete tangent. I won't say he's the best commentator because I don't think any of them are any good, but he's the least worst
commentator. I reckon Jason Bennett, he just makes anyone in the commentary better. So I quite enjoy
it. Yeah, you might be right.
Avoid it. On the weekend, because I just think
you don't like Jason Bennett.
No, I say Jason Bennett just makes anyone better.
Yeah,
so Jason Bennett is one of the better, as is the guy in WA.
Comparing it to like Brian Taylor's waffle this afternoon with Melbourne.
But even he's tolerable even when he's doing it with Jason Bennett, because Jason Bennett just elevates.
Good point. But sorry, I cut you on your track there.
No, that's totally fine. So Caldwell, absolutely loved his game, thought he stepped up brilliantly. In that same kind of mould, I'll give, say, Hobbs as well. I thought he was brilliant, tough, and I got that one wrong on the sitting Joe, which is good.
He was like, I would almost say it was a breakthrough game for him. Yeah. He's had some good games, but he was, like, I did – quite yesterday, he's got the Selwood ability to get free kicks and just position his head so that he gets tackled high. It's a wonderful skill if you've got it. But he was elite yesterday.
Yeah. And of course, Wright, you've got to throw Wright in there. Five right. Hasn't played. He's been out for 40 weeks, I think it is. Hasn't touched a game of football. Five goals, you can say what you want. He marked
eight possessions.
Yeah, absolute. He's a dead eye. He's an absolute professional. He looks in absolutely beautiful nick. He
ran out of steam at the end, like a lot of them.
Did he?
I thought he was tired. I thought he was tired in the last quarter. Okay. Well, not that the ball was getting down there.
Yeah, okay. Yep, fair enough. I thought Ridley was solid again in defence, and Redmond, of course. Menzie, I have to shout out Menzie, if nothing else, for his beautiful spoil on Mr. Adam Sard in the dying minute of the third quarter. if that wasn't brilliant enough, it was even more brilliant because on who it was on. So they're my contenders. So feel free to jump
what
in.
What do you lads think, correspondent? Is that any?
No, I'm sorry. Did you mention your second favourite or favourite player? Which one? Second favourite. Archie.
Can you?
He's the numero uno. Yeah.
No, Archie Perkins deserves a mention. He played a very good game, basically running with Cripps. Won't win the Henneman. So it won't win the herd, but. He, again, you mentioned all the other young kids. He's taken some good strides.
But even the idea to put him on Cripps, like, it's genius.
I know from reading comments that people have said who know him that give him the challenge because he does look like a guy that can, showboat and kind of not try, but put him in the middle and give him a task.
Mm, yeah, good shout.
What about you, Architect? Anyone you want to...
No, I think you probably touched on all of the main ones. It's all I'd say is with that young group, it's going to be very hard for Dylan and Paris to kind of come in because if they continue to play like that.
It's the depth in the midfield. I mean, our draftee apparently had a cracking game in the VFL as well.
Yeah, Sardis.
The guy I want to talk about is, and just pause on, is Dyson Heppel.
Mm, yes.
Like, how has he done this? He's not just holding on to a position. He's been so big in big moments. He's just turned the clock back, 4 years, 5 years? He hasn't played this well for years. How has he done this? Somebody tell me.
I don't know. Is it the removal of the captain's burden? I don't know. He just feels like he doesn't need to be the one. But whatever he's doing, continue to do it. He was clean, is the other thing as well. His disposal efficiency was in the 90s. So, yeah, I'm loving how he's playing his game.
It looks like a bit of Ridley's calmness is washed off on him because he just did not panic. He was under a lot of pressure a couple of times and he just slipped a nice little clean handball out through, through the smallest of holes there.
Yeah, no, I'm so thrilled for him to turn it around like he has.
He's possibly not carrying any major injuries, but I think what the points people made earlier are right. He's feeling pretty confident, got some good support around him, and possibly he's pretty fit. Who knows?
Now, we haven't spoken about two players. One's Nick Martin. The other is Zach Merritt. I assume one is the herd, Fiona.
Absolutely.
And do you want to talk about the other one?
Huh?
Does the other one deserve a mention?
Yes, he does. But I also just wanted to reflect on, I didn't pick it up during the game, but on one of the... 1,000, maybe 2,000 replays that I've watched in the last 24 hours.
Hang on, don't tell me you've watched the first half.
Oh, yeah. I'm not the second quarter, admittedly. But I definitely watched the first a few times.
You are a head case, but anyway.
I absolutely am. No argument for me. Draper, I just want to give a shout out to him. He was very, very good. He had some very good moments playing as sore as he is, so I just wanted to give him a shout.
I think one of my favourites is him sending Saad flying.
Yes.
Oh, that was funny. Very funny.
He just like locked his body in and Saad just ricocheted off him. Brilliant.
And he was unlucky a couple of times when from the centre bounce he moved the ball forward and he went for the off the ground soccer kicks and he got a couple and he missed a couple, but he just tries to move the ball forward as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Yes. But no solution, sorry, to that your point. I am anointing the herd as Nick Martin.
Yep.
And so obviously I can't say enough good things about this kid. He's just putting it all together and in the most what's really interesting about him is that all I'm told from my source, and also you hear all the players in their interviews all say that Nick Martin is very introverted, very quiet around the club. But on the field, he's animated. He gets angry with the umpires. He celebrates really big. He's so animated. He's pointing and directing. He's like a different person. He's an extrovert on the field. So I just love that about him. I think he could potentially be a really good leader in the future too.
Where does his future lie? Like he burst on the scene round one last year, and I thought, okay, maybe he's like a half forward type. He'll kick a couple of goals a game, and you know, like he'll be a handy player. But it seems like the last month, he's kind of, is he a midfielder? Is he a winger? Is he half forward? Is he all of those? Where? What's his ceiling? I guess is my question. Correspondent, you're nodding.
Mate, I think it's a big call, but he's showing signs of playing like a guy like Pendlebury. You know, the way that he moves across the ground, the way that he connects. So where does he play? Well, I don't know. I don't think it matters. Well, of course it does, but you know, wing midfield. But yeah, the more I see him and what he can do, he's one of those guys. And you know, like, there've been comparisons to he moves a bit like Hurd. So they can put him back forward in the guts, and he has an impact.
Hmm. Is he? But he's more than just an outside mid too, isn't he? Like when he's there, he's getting
appearances.
He's getting.
Yeah, well, that goal I mentioned that we, you know, he got the centre clearance. Yeah, so he. But as I said, Pendlebury and Hurd and others like that, they've been inside mids and they just move, you know, with a degree of silk.
The thing is also about him is that his work rate is at absolute elite levels, that even if you try to put someone on him, he'd burn them off because his work
he's got great running ability, you're right.
The intent and the athleticism is obviously on his side, but the intent and the work rate, and that's what I mean about his animation on the field. He's a competitive beast, but behind the scenes, he's introverted and quiet. So
that's what I mean. Zach Merritt's the same. Zach Merritt has been introverted,
and they're the same.
I think you guys mentioned it the other day on Fiona's Forecast. The other surprising thing about it, the greatness of the game, was he'd been on Media Street. Well, media had been on his street, I should say.
Wait. Tell me you listened to the podcast. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Come on.
I know, I'm shocked. I'm shocked too.
I just fell down.
As I was walking through Preston Market buying my fresh poultry, fish and meat.
Wow, very good. I'm very happy to hear this. So finally.
Didn't see you there, Solution.
Which fishmonger do you go to? Do you go to the one on the corner?
The busiest one.
Yeah, they're good. They're really good. great Hurd, no one's going to complain about that. Just on Zach Merritt, the blossoming of him as captain, architect, maybe you can answer this one. Like even the way he's doing the media, speaking to Media Street, he's walking down Media Street. I think he's handling it, from what I can see, really well. He speaks well. He's got an interesting story too. Like his mum, he grew up with a mum who was really sick, and so we know he's a little bit different. But I think there's an inner strength there that I don't know. He's blossomed as a captain. We had an argument pre-season about who is our leader, who will be our captain. I think he's the right man for the job.
I think he's probably turned some of that, you know, when he was younger, that angst around wanting everyone to be perfect, more into kind of driving his performance. And I think it's his volume speak louder than words. I think he's a brilliant captain on the field because he leads by example. You always know you're going to get 100% out of him. And you kind of see it, like his tackle numbers are up, his chase.
He's kicking goals, which he hasn't really done previously.
Yeah, exactly.
With any regularity.
Mm. So it was definitely a bold move to throw him down forward. But, yeah, I'm glad they did because I think you're right, correspondent. He was the difference when the game needed to be cracked open, that breaking of the tag for us. I think it change the game.
You know, we could go on about, I mean, we haven't mentioned Stringer. We haven't mentioned McGrath. We haven't mentioned Redmond. But we do need to turn to a Henneman. And it's a tough choice, Fiona. Have you got any nominations?
Got a couple, yeah. Probably the early, I will say early, Snelling was on my radar. But I think towards the end of the game, he did a few very, very good things that might just have redeemed him from getting this award. But the two that I'm kind of probably honing in on is maybe Laverty or Guelphy. I thought Guelphy was, No.
No mention of the weed?
Doesn't get a mention? Yeah, I was going to say he was very, very, very quiet.
But he was better. He was much better.
The bar was very low from the prior week.
Yeah, cool.
What about that missed shot for goal from?
I think that missed shot for goal in the fourth quarter, that kind of nailed, that gives him the award. That was pretty horrible.
No, chronic now, as if you all listen to Fiona's forecast, and when you get a chronic injury, you can't just put a pack of ice and that won't, the inflammation won't go down with a pack of ice. You need to pull apart the burrito, look within, and
apply ice to the burrito,
and yes, metaphorically, basically, because it's chronic now and it's all in the head. But he brought most balls to ground. He made space for 2 meter, but fine. Yeah, you can all put him up for a nomination. No probs.
I also thought near the end of, when it was getting near the end of the game, there were some moments where, when the ball came to ground and it was just like a dead ball, he didn't chase it, which for me was the, which if I was doing, I would say that would be the tipping point for me, is I want to see him chase it. I want to see him throw himself around like he was in the earlier part of the season. He's got a big body, use it. But yeah, there were a couple of times where he was just stationary. He watched the ball kind of ping around him with hand passes and didn't even put any pressure on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the cardinal sin for me, was his kind of, inability to just halve the contest at various times. So
I thought he did that, but the statistics show Carlton, their defenders didn't take uncontested or contested marks in our forward line. He brought most, he halved most contests. He missed a few marks he should have taken.
But they're shit too. But anyway, it's your award. So
are there any others? Let's leave Wiedemann alone, you bloody bullies.
I know you mentioned Draper, who, you know, did some good things, but both Draper and Phillips, and you know, Phillips took one mark, kicked a goal, but our ruckmen continue not to impose themselves.
I think Phillips continues to not impose himself. And I think Draper's been pretty good all year.
My point being, Phillips is worth a mention for this award.
But Phillips is Phillips. Like, honestly, we could change the award to the Phillips in 10 years' time, no problems, because I think that's his standard, unfortunately. I don't know if anybody saw the last play of the game. Phillips was trying to make an effort to go towards the Carlton player. He couldn't even walk. So he's. I don't know whether he's under a cloud as well, but we needed this buy badly. But anyway.
You know, changing the name to the Henneman and Phillips, because having a two-named trophy name, or it has more gravitas.
The Henneman Phillips? No.
Whether Henneman Phillips or Henneman and Phillips, but anything, you know. You go to a legal firm or an accounting firm, and it's, you know, something and something. You know,
this is true. We could just call it. How's this for the worst accounting firm ever? Henneman Phillips Remus. Proprietary Limited. All right. Danced around it enough. Who are you unfairly giving the award to, because it should have gone to Wiedemann? I mean, sorry, who are you giving the Henneman to, Fiona?
You people, honestly.
Give it to Harry Jones. He's not playing.
Yeah, funny. Yeah, you tell me off. Well, look at all you bullies going for Paul Sammy. He's carried this forward line for 10 weeks. You lay off him, all right? He's gonna have a cappuccino with Brad during the week. during the bye, and they're just going to discuss a few things, and then they're going to go to the hangar, and Scott Brad's just going to stand out there with him, and he's going to yell some abuse while he just kicks for goal, you know, at all different angles, and he's going to get back on track, all right?
I think he has a soy hot chocolate, by the way. He's not.
Yeah, anyway. I was going to say soy or
well, that's going to be the first move that Brad says. And out with the soy, out with the turmeric, out with the ginger, and you get some cold, hard caffeine.
He has a decaf soy chai mocha latte with two equals and a twist of ginger.
Stop it. No, he is spared. I'm going to give it to Laverty. I thought he was not great. I don't think he's been great since he's been back, and I'm sorry it was his 100th, but, yeah, I don't think he did much. Can anybody argue with me? Does anybody think he was good?
He wasn't the worst.
I don't think he was good.
I don't think he was good. I had him in the frame. I thought Wiedemann was worse, but I maybe it's because he pushed out my mate, who I reckon deserves to be Baldwin. But he wasn't good.
I don't think he missed. What I recollect, my recollection of Laverty is he missed a couple of marks he should have taken.
And they weren't Peter Wright. They should have been paid marks. No. They were just dropped marks. Dropping sitters in defence is a recipe for disaster, and he only got away with it because of Carlton's ineptitude.
Those couple of marks not paid to Wright, I mean, seriously, what are the umpires doing?
But we're paying everything else.
Yeah, we got very lucky. That Phillips's goal, that's not a free kick. That wasn't a push.
No.
I think there was three push in the backs, which were extremely dubious.
Yeah. And since when? Push in the back hasn't been a thing all year, all of a sudden in our game.
Clearly rule of the week and, you know, and the focus on the minuscule or minutiae of chopping arms. Like it was horrendous to watch live.
But I don't even think the push in the back made a showing in the Collingwood Demons game today. No. So I think it was just our game.
Yeah, for some unknown reason. So does anyone else want to talk anything about the game or mention anything else? I mean, I would argue it was pretty forgettable other than the third quarter where we played. I mean, it's probably worth mentioning just that, like, there was kind of the Matthew Knights run and carry, which was almost like a guy driving a McLaren F1 car around the streets of East Melbourne and killing half a dozen people. Like, it was just crazy, out of control. But this use of hand that we have and the run and the overlapping players coming from defence, it's, I don't know how to describe it, but at its best, it's unstoppable.
But is it worrying that Carlton are so bad and yet, firstly, we didn't beat them by more, and secondly, that you're saying for three quarters, aside from that third quarter, for three quarters we weren't great either? Like, is that worrying?
Yeah, it is, but that's a different point. Like, you're right. And I think we desperately needed the bye. And don't forget, they had a 9-day break also. But I just think that we see signs of that movement by hand and the use of handball, even to get out of trouble from defence. Like, it's clearly something they've worked on. And I think it's a fine line between overusing handball and using it effectively. But we seem to be walking that line really well. And that's what I think's noteworthy. And I guess that's my point.
But does that stand up against better teams?
Does it stand up in finals? That's the question.
Yeah.
That's one aspect of how Collingwood are playing.
Yep.
You know, plus they've got a couple of really good distributors off half back. Hey, just regards the result, you know, they beat Melbourne, beat them by 20 odd points. Carlton were beaten by the Pies by 20 odd points. That Carlton are just not—they're not scoring—and we did the same thing as the other better teams. I know they didn't kick straight, but as Solution said, a lot of those shots were, you know, under pressure. So, you know, you take a nice 30-point win.
Yeah, well, disregard my point, but you're right. Moving on, I do think we've had a very difficult start of the year in terms of fixture. We've gone to every state. We've invariably come up against teams which have had a longer break than us. And I think just to turn at the position we are, with 8 wins out of 13, having played all the top teams, virtually, I think we haven't played the Bulldogs. I think it's the only one.
No, we played them in about 5 weeks.
Yeah, or maybe we haven't played the Crows either. Who've?
You're right. I think the other interesting thing is, you know, that whole mapping of easy and hard draw is all based on last year's performances, right? We have a tough 4 or 5 weeks ahead after the bye.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
It's Frio, Port, Adelaide, Geelong, Bulldogs.
But very capable. Like, do you fear we can't win every one of those games? I think we can. Whether we will or not, I don't know.
Yeah. We play Port and Adelaide here, right? So that's good. And the Frio game will be a good. It's a classic 8-point game. We beat them away, and we gap them by 3 games on the ladder.
Anything else on the team, the game, where we are before we move to the new segment? Nothing? All right. So we all know Judas Watch was a segment which we could have brought back this week because apparently Joe didn't play well.
Horrendous.
Was he dropping marks and kicking points?
There was some content, put it that way. There was some potential content.
Yeah.
But I think this overrides that for sure.
And really, like a mini Judas Watch is just to say to Brisbane fans, if you haven't worked it out, welcome to the Joe Danaher experience. Like, he will...
It's whiplash.
Yeah, exactly right. And he will show he'll show you glimpses of best player of the comp type performance, and you'll see it occasionally, and it will only make it worse when he delivers mediocrity and when he's poor under pressure. So that's the Joe Danaher experience, and we knew that. You know, played a couple of great weeks, it's always gonna turn around. But Carlton, now, we've discussed on Fiona's Forecast, who's our biggest rival? Who do we hate the most? And I've always put Carlton as number one. I'll give you some kind of historical context. Like that 1999 preliminary final. Hey, Carlton, you didn't win the flag that year. But they were more interested in having beaten us in that preliminary than losing the grand final.
They still dine out on that 1999 prelim. That is one of their living highlights.
So how mediocre is that? Like when was the last preliminary that we lost, correspondent?
If not that one, one in the early 2000s.
Did we lose a preliminary?
I
know we lost the grand final.
No, we lost that prelim in 99. Did we lose a... Mate, seriously.
Put it this way. No one is celebrating or ever talks about our 2001 preliminary final victory.
No.
And I think it's because Carlton is so obsessed with us as a club. Because we kind of like, even though we've had 10 years of, we've had a decadus horribilis. We've had an awful, horrible decade. Basically, coincidentally, the whole time this podcast's existed, the last 10 years. But get yourself off mute, by the way, if you get a laugh. But it's been a terrible 10 years. But it's almost like Carlton, like they were the team that when we had some, not that we've ever been perfect list, but that Carlton 80s team, there's a lot of guys with questionable characters. even though they won some flags. There's some history there. '90s, the brown paper bags. I've been watching some Carlton media content, which I'll get to. They're still they talk about John Elliott as the gold standard, the guy who set the scene for the club and the standard for the club. Now, how would you describe him? Correspondent.
I think
please describe him. I don't even know who that is.
I'm glad you asked me, not Fiona.
You don't know who John Elliott is? Okay.
Should I?
Would you classify him as a bit like an Arthur Daly?
Yes, a
business and corporate leader gone bad or gone wrong.
Yes.
Australia's version of Trump.
That's good.
Wow.
Bad parallel. He was very good at getting to the top of organisations and then quickly running them into the ground or making them.
Is it Donald Trump meets Les Patterson?
Maybe. But he was the key guy who was involved in the brown paper bag. This is why they had all those sanctions for a number of draft pick sanctions.
Oh, so he wasn't a player.
No, he was president.
Oh, sorry. No. Okay, gotcha.
And Fiona, you know Les Patterson, right? Okay.
I think you might know John Elliott if you saw him, but anyway.
Pig's ass.
Yeah, pig's ass. It's taken me a long time to get there, but basically I hate Carlton. That's what I'm really trying to say.
It was a long-winded one.
But I didn't particularly set the scene well. But, like, when I get to the song of the week at the end of the podcast, 10 years ago, they were talking about how they were going to have this trajectory. They were going to make finals and be top four perennially and win flags. And it's almost every couple of years they think they're coming. They want us to smell what's cooking. They think they're going to fucking be good. And again this year, as if they haven't learnt their lessons, they're laughing at us at the same time. They're talking about them as stars. Since round four, who have they beaten? They've beaten West Coast and North.
I think West Coast and
North. Or West Coast and Hawthorn. I think those two teams. Like, they are so dire, so bad. They've put all their eggs in a couple of baskets with some. They've got some really good players at the top end. It falls away. They're appallingly coached, and they are losing their shit. Did anyone see the footage from last night? So there was fighting in the stands.
Mate, it was the fighting. That was, I think, it was in the members. I was around to my right in the forward pocket, and I think it was Carlton fans fighting Carlton fans.
It was.
Yep.
The implosion is real. It is alive and healthy and well. They are turning on each other. They are turning on their team. They are feral. They are taking Collingwood fans to the races on that.
Showing them how it's done.
Yeah, exactly.
And Fiona, look, there were some casual boos towards Adam Saad because, you know, he's a filthy, rotten traitor, and he went for the money and went for. So that's all in a bit of jest.
Absolutely.
But then we weren't booing our team when they went off the ground.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let people boo. There's a line. You don't boo your own, and you don't boo for obvious vitriolic reasons, okay? Everything else is fair play, all right? Now, if GWS had fans, they would have booed Chiel, all right? But as they don't, they didn't boo him. But it would have been
correct
if they did, okay? Now, If the Suns had fans, they would have booed Peter Wright too, and that would have been okay. But let them boo. And can I just go back on what you said? Not only did he go for the money, he went for the culture. He went for the culture. The culture.
He went for culture and playing in finals.
That culture is just looking tip top.
Yeah, if you had to see that, look, I'm a professional footballer and I've been offered more money and this is where I'm gone, nobody would bat an eyelid.
Yeah.
But I'll say one thing. I think when your team has been really abjectly poor for months and months, or they don't try. I even don't mind booing your own team. But some of the comments they made, like some guy yelling, "You're a disgrace to your family."
Yeah, I know that's a bit tough.
Still Silvani. Right?
Yeah.
That's
cool. Oh, that was still Silvani, was it?
It was still Silvani. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe that's fair. Let's be honest. We haven't had a segment shit grandson, but if he was an Essendon player, we would call him a shit grandson. Let's be honest.
But it was his dad.
No, but his grandfather was a champion.
His grandfather, Serge Silvani.
Was he better than Sauce?
He's a different player in a different era, but very good. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, but I mean, was he better than Jack's dad? His son, was he better? Would you say he was better?
Well, I'm not old enough to have seen much of Serge.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
No, but he was apparently a very good player in the 70s, but the grandson is the worst of the three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
He's playing for Carlton, so who bloody knows? Who knows what level these players could get to? Kuno and Mackay in good teams. Imagine what they'd be.
No, I reckon Mackay would bring whoever he plays for down.
You reckon?
Okay. But anyway, in terms of Blues Watch, like there's so many places we could go. We could go to Twitter. We could go. But I wanted to zero in on a couple.
Far and wide is the point.
Pardon?
You could go far and wide.
We can go far. We could go wide. We could go deep. But I'm going to zero in on this little thing that Jez put me onto. Notice how he dipped the podcast today, by the way.
I knew it.
Putting his, I guess, marriage and kids first.
I was going to say putting marriage and kids first.
Yeah, something you'd never be accused of, correspondent. But, but he put me onto this website Blue Abroad. I spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. Now, I never knew they existed. And as I said last podcast, like there's nothing different about it. It's very Premier League, Arsenal fan TV, all these sorts of things. But I've taken great pleasure the last few weeks in watching these guys implode. And there's the host who's quite a genial, nice guy. Have you guys watched it at all? Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. They have fan cams where basically they just have a bunch of fans on who comment, and each fan gets his minute, 2 minutes, and then he moves on to the next one.
And is this all kind of post-game or like soon after? When is it done?
It's done after the game. So like,
but almost immediately, like within a few hours or?
Yeah, like I think it might have been half an hour after full time.
Right, so it's pretty fresh. Pretty.
Yeah, it's good. It's fresh. It's raw. But I was just going to read some of the quotes and comments that different fans said on this show. So one guy said, it's like the old saying. He's talking about Voss here. Until you chop the snake's head off, the body's just fit. I don't think that's quite how the saying goes.
All these mixed metaphor kind of
things. Yeah, it was brilliant. There's another guy. Now, this guy was serious. He was complaining about the crowd, as I alluded to earlier. And I'm paraphrasing all of these. I didn't quite get the exact words because I was typing it as I went. But the guy said, a third of our members' area were Essendon fans, which is something we can be proud of. I mean, I don't condone having to go at MCG staff, but how do you allow it? So what he's basically saying is they were abusing MCG staff about Essendon fans being in the Carlton members area.
Being in their area.
Do we know this is not English soccer where it's segregated
fans? It's not illegal. It's not an illegal thing to sit, to give your tickets to somebody, you know.
No. No. Then there was another guy. So he had one solution which was going to solve a lot of these problems. And he said this about 15 times. Strip Cripps. So he thinks Cripps as captain is the problem. and that this will solve a lot of the issues if we just strip Cripps. Is what he said multiple times.
That's very hard to say, once let alone multiple times.
It is. It is. So I've only got two more. There was a guy that called up, an old mate who hosts it, said, "Oh, what are your comments?" And he just said, "We're just shit burger." I goes, what was that? We're shit burger. Like, I don't know what that was meant to say. Anyway, there's lots of problems with that sentence. And then this is my favourite of the lot. And this is a guy, a fairly young guy, and I wrote his name down, but I'm not going to call him out because that would be unfair. He's talking about Voss, and a lot of them are unhappy with Voss. And he said, "I coached a basketball team when I was in year 10, 11. Now, obviously, that's nothing compared to what Michael Voss is doing. But, and he went on to draw these parallels between his year 10 basketball coaching experience and what Michael Voss is doing wrong. So all I can say is, apparently, the Carlton hierarchy at the moment are very cognizant of what their fan base is saying. All I can say is continue to listen, continue to be led. I think you should probably sack Voss and bring in another coach. Maybe someone who plays basketball. But, yeah, I could have gone anywhere with Blues Watch this week, but they...
Did you see... I think the Carlton Twitter media person was trolling the fans. They put up a post today saying... Oh, the Carlton merchandise shop is closed today for a public holiday. Back open on Tuesday. Read comments, set it on fire. Don't open again. Back the window. Oh, yeah, because I'm rushing in to get my merch.
Yeah.
I think that was a troll post, like as if you just stay quiet.
Mm-hmm. You sure it wasn't like clearance sale 90% off?
That's it.
Just burn the whole thing down, hey?
All right, now, one thing I want to do before the mid-year break is I want to ask the mid-year herd. So we're not going to go Henneman, but I want your mid-year herd. Who's your player of the year so far for Essendon? And I think I tried to think about it. I only just came up with this 30 seconds ago. I'm racking my brain now. I think it's a challenge. But I'm going to start with you, Architect.
Oh, that is a very tough one. I think for myself, and I think it's partly growth on where he was last year, I'd have to give it to Martin at the moment. He's been a revelation in how he's playing for me.
Is there some recency bias there?
It is. I've only got a 3-second memory span, so I can remember the last game and that's it.
You and me both.
So I'd have to go Martin. I just even think from early on in the season, I think he's been extremely consistent. And he's just starting. He's just so clean in traffic.
Correspondent, what do you think?
Yeah.
In your log cabin.
My memory's only a smidge longer than yours, so I've just gone to the player list. Yeah, look, if it isn't, there's certainly some recency bias on Martin. You know, who's winning the Crichton is what you're virtually asking us, right?
Yeah.
You know, Zach Merritt's had a great... Zach Merritt will be in All-Australian contention. So I'll say Zach Merritt, but I could easily say Martin. And having said that, had Parrish not injured himself, he would have been in the running.
What do you think, Fiona?
I'm going to go Ridley. I think he's been ultra, ultra consistent, reliable, calm. He's having a beautiful year. If he wasn't concussed, we win that game. So that says it all for if one player goes down and if he doesn't go down and we win the game, like potential, we think we would have won that game. That shows you the importance and how good form the player is, that said player is in. So I'm going to give it to Ridley. It is just a beautiful sight seeing him back to his best and fairest best.
Still only, how old is he, 24?
Around that, yeah. He's absolute silk. He's silk.
Mm.
Yeah.
It is funny, like Redmond's, you know, he comes from the, isn't he, like talking about it on the during the game, his family's into crayfishing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's kind of the workhorse. He's the four-wheel drive off-road vehicle to Ridley's kind of luxury car.
Mm.
They do work well together, those two.
Bentley Mustang or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yang.
Mm. Just mentioning Red Dog, if you, having watched the team sing the song after the game, after watching the replay of the second half, the gusto with which Red Dog, you know, was singing the song, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, I think you're right. I hope you're right.
I
think he's an important piece.
Who knows? But he's very invested.
Now, in terms of mine.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to go. Actually, the Crichton's a good one, because, as we know, the Crichton voting's quite weird. Doesn't like every man and his dog gets a vote. So you don't need to be the best player each week to actually feature in the Crichton. So I'm gonna go for consistency, and he's maybe dropped off the last couple of weeks because for whatever reason. But I think Langford might be my Mr. Consistent this year, Mr. Fix It.
Yeah, absolutely. Like he's
plugged holes where we've needed holes plugged.
It was funny. He was not really noticed last night, for obvious reasons. So yeah, mate. I think both what you and Fiona said. Those two players are way up there.
Well, it's funny. All four of our selections will be on the All Australian selectors like squad list at the minute on the whiteboard. It was interesting. Kane Corns, because he's a selector this year, he was saying on the radio that the selectors had a meeting last week. They meet, I guess, every few months, and they obviously write all the clubs up till now, like 12 rounds in. They put all the clubs on a whiteboard and they write a list of all the kind of contenders at the minute. And it just made me think, like, all four of our selections tonight would be on that list as we stand.
Hang on. Kane Corns also had the Blues as his certainties to win on the weekend.
No, well, he actually said it was taken a bit out of context, but he said in his spiel that they just have to win, in that they just have to get it done. So that's my certainty, that they just have to do it or else they're toast, kind of thing. It was a bit in jest, I thought, but anyway.
I only read it. I don't
want to defend Kane Corns, but, you know.
Yeah, he's one of the world's great morons, let's be honest.
But you just did, so that's right.
I know. Yeah. Well, you know.
A broken watch is right twice a day.
Correct.
I don't like when people are potted. Let's pot them when they say something wrong. Not on this occasion. I believe he was being a bit facetious to Carlton, basically.
I'll keep that in mind, actually.
Appreciate that, correspondent.
Right, now, the last thing I'm going to ask of you before we close off and I go to the song of the week, we bring that back. What do you give our season a rating? Like, give it an A, B, C, D, or an F. Well, it's obviously not an F. But what do you reckon?
And B+.
B+ for you, correspondent?
Yep.
Hard to argue. Yana?
I was gonna say the same, a B+.
I think in if you're asking me in terms of what I expected, in comparison to what I expected, it's an A. But I think in terms of how we're measuring how we've played, the ball movement, all the specifics, B+, B-, yeah.
And the only time I would say B+, A-. The only time I've really been disappointed is the Collingwood game, where I just felt, God, we should have won that match. And if only we, you know, decision here, decision there, fumble here, fumble there, that's one that we let get away. But overall, like to beat Melbourne in Adelaide, to travel like we have, to win some games where we haven't played particularly well, to fight back, like even the Geelong game when, you know, any other season we would have just dropped our heads and probably lost by 15 goals.
Geelong game and Brisbane game have been the two worst games, right?
feels a long way, a long ago from when Saints kicked 40 points and we kicked nothing. Like, it feels a long way. We feel a long way from that.
Yeah. And I reckon, again, let's be under no illusions. We didn't mean to get Brad Scott. In fact, maybe we thank Alistair Clarkson because, it was such a blur what happened. And then we had the president or whatever who lasted a week.
A day.
CEO and all this shit. That's right, CEO, sorry. All this shit that happened. A couple of things stand clear for me. No Xavier Campbell. Big win. We then somehow just fall into this guy, Brad Scott, who I think everybody had written off as a coach. But, you know, he's been there. He's done that. We know he made a very average Kangaroos team look quite good at times and got them into preliminaries. I just think it's sheer luck. But it's one of those sliding door moments where we just chose the right guy. And I'm really, really bullish about our second half of the season. We got players cut to come back.
You know what's even better on that, on the Brad Scott thing, is that Carlton could have had him. They were asking after him when they were interviewing Voss. They approached him at the AFL and said, do you want to take it up? They approached Ross Lyon, Brad Scott. So they could have had him had they gone harder at him, but they went with Voss.
Yeah, there's some pretty crazy sliding doors moments when you reflect.
100%. All right. Anybody want to mention anything else before we...
No, I'm pretty excited about what's coming up.
Me too.
You get to it already.
Can you hear that?
Right now, but don't talk.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Round 10. Funny how it seems. Blues beat the Giants. Suddenly premiership dreams. Met a Blues fan, he was a shit bloke. He said the Bombers were jokes. The Bombers were jokes. I bought a ticket to the game. Essendon playing the Blues. 3 hours later, well, I knew we had won. And now I will give you the news. Ba 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 ba, the overrated Blues. Ba 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 ba, the overrated Blues. With your forwards too short and your midfield that's slack, the defense as well. Not quite all that. Judd and Murphy, good on the ball. Jarrett Wade is your only toll. He's your only toll. I bought a ticket to the game. Essendon playing the Blues. 3 hours later, well, we knew we had won. And now I will give you the news. Everybody sing. Ba 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 ba. Ray, you guys are terrible.
Ba 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 ba.
Blues. Kind of ran out of steam at the end.
Take a bow.
Break the guitar. Smash it.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, great. Good work.
Nicely done.
So,
Fiona, what do you think?
Hurrah. I thought you were gonna write a new one with Mackay and Kernow.
I kind of
Originals are best.
Originals are best, but it also highlights what I was saying.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed with this club.
Yep, good point.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Like back then they had one tall. They had Judd. Remember, they gave away the farm for Judd as well. They had Murphy, and the rest was shit. And sure enough, a decade later, here we are. Yeah.
Brilliant.
All right.
Well, anyway, that's the first song of the week for a long time. So now.
You should write some new stuff.
You still got it.
Yeah.
Just need some new content.
Never had it. All right. Now, in terms of the podcast, so we'll take a break. Fiona's forecast will take a break, obviously. We will have the OG podcast next week. In the meantime, check out our sponsor, Something About Cake. How's the activity been, Fiona?
I mean, look, if you're inquiring about cakes and you're not saying that you're coming from here, make sure you mention that you're coming from here, because yep. I'll take care of you. So I just want to put that out there, because there were a few that I thought maybe did come, but they didn't mention the Windy Hill podcast.
Yeah, you got to mention you're from the podcast. And you do Essendon stuff too, yeah? How many Essendon cakes have you done?
No, not Essendon cakes. They weren't for Essendon cakes, but they were for general birthday cakes. And I thought, oh, yeah, maybe.
Okay. Well, there you go. Check out the sponsor. And yes, wonderful. I would say, as we said, B+, A-, great first half of the year. Lots to look forward to. Players to come back. Dare I say, we're going to make a run at the finals. Whether we'll get there or not, whether we win a final or not, I don't think it necessarily matters. But it's a good feeling to be on the winners side of things. Agreed?
Absolutely.
It's nice to go into a bye with a win, so you don't sit on a loss for 2 weeks, you know?
Oh, yeah. Correct. All right. Well, on that note, thanks to everyone that listened, and we'll see you next week.
Go Bombers.
Bye.